Well, I just have to say amen to that. That was just a powerful, beautiful message Brother Thomas preached to us this morning, and I thank God for that. That stirred my soul, and I hate to say anything now that would detract from that message. I need the Spirit of the Lord this morning, and I beg an interest in your prayers. In the 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus, in the 4th verse, we find that the high priest, on the Day of Atonement, wore holy garments. And this certainly prefigured in type that the coming great high priest would be holy in his humanity. God would accept nothing less than absolute perfection. The law of God would accept nothing less than absolute perfect righteousness. I couldn't give that. You couldn't give that. There's not a son of Adam born today that could give that kind of perfect righteousness. And so something happened long ago that was a miracle in itself. God came upon in the person of the Holy Ghost a young maiden named Mary and said to her, "That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." God in His infinite wisdom arrived at a solution how that man might die and still give perfect obedience and righteousness to his law. That's the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His holy humanity is what these garments prefigured in type. That holy thing born of Mary was to be united to the second person in the Trinity, the God-man, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one on that wonderful Day of Atonement that rendered for us a perfect righteousness unto our Heavenly Father. But He was a holy man. In every sense of the word, the Lord Jesus Christ was holy. The writer to the Hebrews defines it like this in Hebrews 7:26, "For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." The Lord Jesus Christ was undefiled. And I thank God that He was undefilable. There's a wonderful thing about our Savior. He's accessible. In the 7th chapter of the book of Luke, is described as the friend of sinners. And I rejoice in that this morning because I find myself to be a great sinner in need of an accessible Savior. He came among sinners and He was not afraid to touch them, and He was not afraid to be touched by them. In that same 7th chapter of Luke, we find that He came to the house of Simon the leper. And there was a woman that came there who brought an alabaster box of ointment and broke it upon His feet and head. And Simon said, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Sinners touch the Lord Jesus Christ, but he never was contaminated. He never was defiled. And so I'm thankful this morning that we have a Savior that sinners might freely come unto, and will not defile him, will not contaminate him in any way. He was undefiled. He remained undefiled in all the association, in contact that he had with sinful, polluted men and women. He was the holy high priest. But not only was he holy on that great day of atonement, I want you to see something else in this 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus. The Lord Jesus Christ was a solitary high priest. In the 17th verse of Leviticus 16, it says, "And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel." Now, history tells us that 2 weeks before the great day of atonement, the high priest would go in and began to do the work that was unfamiliar to him, that he might be able to go in alone and unassisted on the great day of atonement, because it was God's design that the high priest have no help, no assistance. And so when we turn to Isaiah chapter 63, we find it recorded for us, "Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone." "And of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. And I looked," in verse 5, "and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold." So the Lord Jesus Christ, A-L-O-N-E, alone brought redemption. There was none in the sanctuary to help him. And on that day, my friends, that he went to Calvary's cross, there was none that helped him. He alone brought salvation to his people. Now, there are many in this day that want to say, "Well, wicked men helped in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ." I tell you, that is blasphemy this morning. That does great injustice to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No wicked helped him. No what we might consider good men helped him. There were none of his disciples that helped him. There was none that helped the Lord Jesus Christ atone for sins. He did it alone. Jesus Christ was the high priest, solitary on that great day of atonement. He needed no help, and we certainly could not give him any help. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by His own work and merit, by Himself, made satisfaction to our Heavenly Father. Well, in the 7th verse of the 16th chapter of Leviticus, we find that the great work of atonement was that one lamb be brought, one goat be brought. In the 7th verse of Leviticus 16, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And so one goat was brought, and the lot fell upon the goat that would give his life, and the other goat was sent away into the wilderness by the hand of a fit man. And so we find in this beautiful picture the act of substitution for the Lord Jesus Christ and His people. Substitution because He stood in my place and He stood in your place. And so the Apostle Paul could write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 that God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We were placed in the Lord Jesus Christ so that He had all of our sins transferred to Him, and we took all of His righteousness. Not a sin was left. Not the sin of unbelief. Not the sin. Not one sin, beloved, was left upon us. All was transferred to the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. We became righteousness in Him, and He became sin for us. And so the goat upon whose head all of the sins of God's people were confessed was taken away into the wilderness. Now, I don't know how true this is. Some of the Old Testament writers, the Jewish writers, record that every mile there was a booth set up for the man who took the goat into the wilderness, that he might refresh himself until he came to the 10th mile and there were no more booths. And after that, the man would take the goat out into the wilderness until he could see the goat no longer. And then the cry would go up that the goat is gone, our sins are gone. And the gospel this morning, my friends, tells us that the goat is gone, my sins are gone, your sins are gone, and that is the glorious proclamation of the glorious gospel of the happy God today. My sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Now, to a lot of us who are older in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, does that ever get old? I tell you, I live every day and realize myself to be a great sinner. And it never gets old with me that my sins, every single one, was placed upon the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were taken away into a land that will never be remembered against me again. That's why God could say in Isaiah 45 and verse 22. Well, Isaiah 45. I'll get the chapter right. How about 43:22? I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And so the gospel proclaims today that long ago on Calvary, our Redeemer took our sins and gave us his righteousness. And therefore, forgiveness of sins is now proclaimed around this globe. The gospel of Jesus Christ is telling men and women, we have been forgiven upon the basis of that great high priest who not only offered the sacrifice, but himself became the offering. He took our sins and gave us his righteousness. And so God could say in Isaiah 44 and 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And so that's a glorious promise that God has given us today. And so if we find ourselves this morning far away from the Lord, maybe we've wandered away from Him on the basis of that great work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is now saying to us, if we found ourselves wandering from Him, return unto me. We have a wonderful way open to us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we might return unto the Lord this morning. You know, I'm very thankful for that wonderful gospel message that Brother Thomas so wonderfully preached to us this morning. And maybe we have already been baptized, and maybe we found ourselves straying from the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it with us this morning? Are we close to the Lord, or have we wandered away? Well, God has made provision not only for those who are first coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, but He's made provision for those who've come and wandered away. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, is the gospel promise this morning. God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and I will abundantly pardon. God will have great mercy even upon those who've come to Him once and wandered away. My friends, God is still there, the accessible Savior, and we can come to Him regardless of how far we have strayed away. Return unto me, for I have blotted out thy sins as a thick cloud. The Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven all sin in the person of Himself. And so we proclaim a gospel this morning that would free you from all transgressions. In the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus, and in the 9th verse, we find that something else took place on the 7th month and on the 10th day of the month, the same day as the great day of atonement, something else took place. That silver trumpet sounded on the year of Jubilee. On the 50th year, all that were in servitude, all that were in bondage, went free. In the 50th year, which coincided on that great day of atonement, the silver trumpet sounded, and all that were in shackles went free. I tell you, Jesus Christ has opened the prison door. He has turned the captives out. We have been set free. And so not only do we have proclaimed this morning a righteousness in that great day of atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also sounding on that same day is the glorious trumpet, the silver trumpet of Jubilee. We've been set free. Jesus Christ has set us free. There's no longer any reason to be in bondage to sin. But you know, as Brother Thomas said, that's exactly what Satan would love for us to believe. That we have no business even trying to come to the Lord Jesus Christ because we're too sinful. We've gone too long, too far in sin, and there's no turning back. But I'm thankful this morning that's not true. I tell you, as an elect child of God, we cannot go far enough away from the Lord Jesus Christ that there's no point of return. There's always a point of going back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way is always open. Satan would have us believe, I'm too sinful, I'm not able to be able to go. But I want you to know that's a lie this morning. I tell you, we have wonderful access to the Lord Jesus Christ as we come confessing our sins and returning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we hold up a great Savior this morning. He's given us a wonderful righteousness. He's opened the door of our cell and we've come out free. And so what are we to do with this information and this wonderful knowledge this morning? We're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not yet taken up your cross and followed Him in baptism in the wonderful picture that's been set before us this morning, then I would bid you take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. If you have already done that, serve Him. Serve Him, as Brother Thomas had said, be baptized. Let us live that in our life. I thank you so much for your good attention, and I thank the Lord for the wonderful Savior that He's given us that's made a way open for rotten sinners to come to the glorious Savior.